Then, of course, as I grew older in high school, I didn't finish high school right then. I got married, and then I went to night school, and I did finish, and I even took college courses, so my education wasn't all lost then. And I went to dances, and we had a great old time in the wintertime. And then, of course, after World War One, well, up until World War One, there were wood side books in San Bernardino. And my youngest brother and my best friend were the first four casualties from San Bernardino. And they named the Legion post after him, Leonard Armstrong. So, there were nice memories. There were some tragedies. And that was a big tragedy we both felt. But my youngest brother he went overseas too. But he didn't get into active combat because he was training the other newer recruits. The throw. He was quite a baseball pitcher. And he kept active with the Santa Fe, as in the baseball field, too. Until, he must have been pretty close to 60. But he still played, and he was still doing that. And of course, I'd always go to all his baseball games and the track meets and everything and yell myself hoarse for him. And then, of course, the other girls kind of followed too because he was ineligible. But he married another a girl that was in a book camp site. And they never had any children. And they're both gone now.
I'd like to go back and ask you. First of all, I didn't ask you what your father's name was.
George Jury Reese.
Now, was he about the same age as your mother?
Yeah. Yeah, they were both near of an age. And I think my mother was 42 when I was born, and he was 44. So.
Do you remember hearing stories about your birth, the circumstances? If you were born in a hospital or born
No,
in a
no.
home?
Oh, my, no. None of us were born in a hospital. Oh. No. No. There was, my mother had a doctor, but she had this woman that come to the house and take care of her and keep house for the children and cook meals for my father. And so she recuperated. Yeah, we were all pretty close together. I think there was only about 12 years difference between my oldest brother and I. And, that was fast.
How many children were there?
Five. And they all of them lived. My one brother he died at 65. He was buried on his 65th birthday. And my oldest brother, he was 78 when he died. And my sister was 76. But she fell and broke her arm. And she had had two toes cut off in a motorcycle accident. And her balance wasn't too good. And we all felt that she was, she lived on the second floor. And she must have stepped on the toe of that foot. And she fell going up stairs and broken arm. She broke it in a very bad place. And she died about 6 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can die from a broken bone, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she was in the plumbing business, and she died quite well fixed. Better than me. what was you asking about?
Well, I was going to ask how many children there were. I was going to ask where you were.
I'm the youngest one.
You are the youngest.
Uh-huh. All the rest of them are older. So, the oldest one is 12 years older, and the next one, I think, I don't think there were 3 years between my youngest brother and I, and there was 5 years between my sister and I. I don't remember how much there was between the two older boys. And
you know if your mother ever had miscarriages or lost children?
No. And I never did either. No, I had two, and I decided that was enough. And fortunately, since I had to support them with no help, it was a little bit more than enough. My sister had two, and next to my oldest brother had two. My oldest brother had one. So my parents had, let's say, seven grandchildren. But my father didn't live long enough to see mine. He died in 1923. And my mother died in 1936.
Did your mother... was your mother involved in activities outside the home at all when you were small?
If she even looked at a broom, she'd be deathly sick. She had a hernia, and she just couldn't do anything. She could sit, knit, and she'd carry on the rapidest conversation. She was, she was full of life, full of fun. My mother was a lot of fun. She used to play cards with us, and she'd do anything. I even caught her turning somersaults one time. I think my little girl was about four, and she was showing her how to turn a somersault. She'd try and do things, but she'd pay a big price for anything she did, anything. And she was quite religious, too. Like I said, she was brought up in a Catholic school. While she never became a Catholic, she was an Episcopalian at heart. My father was a Quaker. He didn't believe in cards or dancing. But my mother did. And there was never any differences there. If she wanted to, fine. And he was all wrapped up in the Masonic Lodge, and he was the master of the lodge there. But my mother just wasn't able to carry on a lot of social obligations. And but we had, the house was always full of people. Everybody liked my mother and father. And we had lots of parties. As a matter of fact, my father would say, "I'd rather have you all at home making more noise than I can stand than have you out not knowing what you're doing." So we had lots of parties, and we had a big enough place where we could have everybody in. And each one of us had our own group, and we all went together. We didn't distinguish between groups. Which you don't find that today. No, because I was a little sister, I probably was a pain in the neck, but they never let me know it. And my sister and I were very close. As a matter of fact, she took care of my mother And in her last years, I was in Oklahoma. And the last time I came out, my mother said, well, I deeded everything to Isabel. And she said, is that all right? And I said, definitely. But my sister did divide things. And she said, now, is this all right? You satisfactory with you? And I said, if you'd kept every dime, I would have said it was fine. And she took care of it. I felt deeply indebted. So, I came home, she wrote and told me that my mother wasn't going to last the winter. And she wanted me to come home, but there was no money. So I wrote and asked my uncle, who had lived with us ever since I was born, if he wouldn't loan me the money, even if I couldn't pay it back. He did. So I came home and I stayed a month. And I could see how the drain of taking care of my mother was affecting my sister. So I told her, I said, you just go, forget about her. I'll take care of her. So she did. She went shopping and she went to parties and I think she even went to the Rose Parade. But she enjoyed herself and she felt grateful to me. So my mother died the week after I went home, but I didn't come back. I had given her all then. So there was nothing left for me. So my marriage was falling to pieces. So when my sister said there was some money, I just got a divorce and came home. Came back out here, that is, no home, but I'd come home broken. But I managed it. And I managed to house my children and feed them. And I never looked up their father to see if I couldn't get some money out of him. Not until much later they were raised. And one of his nephews came out and said, when Grandpa dies, you aren't going to get anything. You were stopping in Bob. Drop seeds of that. When I found out the old man was ready to pass on, he was in the hospital, not expecting to get well, I started to back child support. Well, of course it was widely published back there, and I suppose it hurt the sisters that lived there. Only one lived there. But Ed lived out here in California. And he could have seen the children at any time if he had not been hiding. But I wasn't looking for him. And so I sued for child support. Oh, the attorney back there wasn't interested in the case, and so I settled for $1,500. Let me see, from 6 years old, 18, 12 years. So I got $1,500, but the attorney out here and the one back there between them, I only got $900. So it was fine. I split it down the middle for each one of them. I didn't want his money. I just wanted to show them. Spike? Oh. Well, not really. It was just one of those things that I guess Ed had never told his present wife he had any children. So this brought it out in the open. If it caused trouble, I'm sorry. I have nothing against him. That's all open.
Let's go back a minute and talk about what discipline was like in your household as you were growing up.
Oh. We would want to know if we could do certain things, we would ask one parent or the other. If it was our father, he would say, "What does your mother say?" And if we asked our mother, she would say, "What does your father say?" So there was no getting around. There was none of this burning both ends against the middle. We had to come right out with it. And they hung right together on everything. And if we did something we knew we shouldn't do, then we were sent to our room and we stayed there. We got a good shake once in a while, and sometimes a good hard spat where it did the most good, but never any beatings or anything like that. No, it was a nice home to grow up in. Very nice. My parents were very much together on everything. They, no disputes. I never heard them argue. Or if they did, they must have. I can't believe two people would live together without some argument. But we never heard them. If there was any differences, and my father always banked the money and whatever we needed, and then he'd write a check for it. My mother was able to do the same. Oh, it was agreeable hospital. Very agreeable.
That went for decisions too that were made that they had to make.
What was that?
That went for decisions as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything. Of course, when I got married, my mother didn't want me to marry the man I did. She was very much against it. And my father was already gone, and he didn't have any say about it. So I went down to see my sister. She lived in Seal Beach, and he was in the Navy. He came over, and wondered if I didn't want to go for a ride. So, yeah, I wanted to go for a ride. And so he drove over to Santa Ana, and he said, "Let's get a marriage license." I said, "No, I don't want one." "Oh, well, let's just get one. We don't have to use it." Well, we got one, and we did use it. And then he had to go back to the ship right away. He didn't have that night off at all. And I had my ticket all bought. I was going to go back to take my mother back to Illinois, to Rock Island, to see her sister. And he was going to go to New York. This is Panama Canal. So the marriage, really, I could have gotten annulment for, but why I didn't, I don't know. Incidentally, I was hard of hearing, I had been ever since an attack of measles when I was about 10. And of course, I probably, if I had heard a little bit better, this never would have happened. But I didn't. I didn't hear, and so that was it. But after he came back from the service, it was 2 years before he got out of the service, and then he wanted to live in Los Angeles. Well, I wasn't crazy about Los Angeles, but we lived there. And I worked for and the Jacoby brothers. Jacoby brothers, I think, went bankrupt during the Depression sometime, but after I left. And I lived there in the operation room for about 3 years.
What kind of a firm was that? What kind of a firm was that?
Why, it was a department store down there close to 3rd and Broadway. And they had, they had imported ladies' wear, fabulous. And it's really nicer than the Broadway, even men. But it was a smaller firm. And I used to have Paris made dresses and things like that, but I'd get them at a discount when they were on sale. And I used to dress real nice. I thought they had, I was quite hard of hearing, and really not hard enough hearing for a hearing aid. The hearing aid bothered me at that time. But it's gradually got worse over the years. And of course, when I was living in Oklahoma, I was quite hard of hearing, but no money to buy the hearing aid. But when my sister sent the money from my mother's estate, I bought a hearing aid. And that was it. I could hear what my husband had to say. I couldn't stand the way he talked. Or finding out some of the things he did. So I got a divorce. Cost me $15.
Great.
Well, when you stop to think how much it cost, and if I had come back out here. Now, that divorce was final in 6 months. The attorney, it was granted in 3 days, or would have been, but he filed a cross complaint. He didn't want me to get a divorce. I was his security. And I got he put it off until I had to stay there for about 10 days before I could go to court. Otherwise, they would have given me a divorce right at the time. As soon as I got the divorce, I came back out here so that I would be assured of the work, friends anyway, which I didn't have back there. That was 10 years on a farm. You don't make that many friends. You're not that close to people. And being hard of hearing was another obstacle. My in-laws were very hostile about the hearing problem. So, I lived with it. 10 years of it.
How had you met him?
Well, I met him at a dance. I met him in Long Beach. My sister lived in Seal Beach, and we used to go over to Long Beach, and a whole bunch of us, and go to a dance. And for some reason or other, he kind of stuck around longer than the rest of them. Each time he'd come back to port, why, he would always look me up, and he'd even come up to San Bernardino. If I wasn't at the beach, he'd come to San Bernardino. And, you never know him until after you marry him. I found that out twice. So, of course, he was no more the same man after he got out of the Navy than he was when he was in the Navy. He was, full of fun and everything while he was in the Navy. But after he got out of the Navy, he was very grasping and wasn't about taking anything he couldn't pick up. And that went along. That went against the grain. Very much. Well, when we was back there in Oklahoma, we were on his parents' farm. There I had the hostile family. And I guess there was a bit of jealousy in the girls, there were three girls. He was the only son. And that way, an only son is, he can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. They were all against each other. They didn't get along together, any of them. But they were jealous of what he was getting. And then he used to go and tell his folks that I need this and I demanded that for the other. And I said that didn't improve the relations any. Of course, I didn't know this until later. One of his sisters told me. So it was a rough pill to swallow. So the money all went. See, I had money from this uncle who had worked the farm from my grandparents until his death. And then he left everything, not to the married brothers and sisters, but to the children. And he left, of course, the money to those who hadn't married. But it was all divided equally, 8 ways. And seven ways. And of course, I only got 1/5 of 1/7. But it was a lot of money then. Well, I think that's probably why it stuck around so. He knew I had that money. And then after we were married, he kept borrowing money from my uncle. He wouldn't ask me for it. He'd borrow it from my uncle. And my uncle said, you know, Ed's been borrowing money from me, and he don't pay it back like he says he would. And I said, well, I'll pay you back this time, but if you ever loan him another dime, you can kiss it goodbye, you know. So he never knew why he couldn't borrow money anymore. He'd be very frustrated because he couldn't borrow money. But he would never ask me. But then he started borrowing from his shipmates. And his shipmates finally came over and said, well, they'd have to go to the captain if it wasn't paid back. Well, I was in love with him. So, I had to pay that back. And finally, he talked me into letting him